And I'm happy to be here with you. I don't need to have a lake and everything to find the joy of people and community. It's just good to be here together with us. So we are in the midst of studying the book of Proverbs, and this week we are at week 11 in a 10-week series. Yeah, it is. It's week 11, and that's what I love about the Bridge. We can be at week 11 in a 10-week series, and it really doesn't matter much, does it? And we'll, I think next week, JJ will be finishing up the series. But it is my privilege to come and to speak. My name is Ted, and I get to speak on occasion here. So let's lift our morning to God in prayer. And as I come before you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I thank you that I don't have to invite you into our presence because you're always here, already here. I don't have to ask you to do good things for us because that is your heart. That is who you are. I don't have to ask you, Spirit, to speak because that's what you do. And so this morning I bring to you me, and I bring to you these people. And Lord, for these next minutes, would you do what only you can do? And Spirit, would you empower us to be willing participants in that? In Jesus' name, amen. So let me start with a scene, painting a scene that we all know well. It goes like this. Someone is facing a hard situation. Has any one of you ever faced a hard situation? I think we all have. And perhaps this week, or presently right now. Those hard situations can be all kind. They can be financial situations. They can be health situations. There can be relationship stuff going on. There can be job loss or looking for employment. And so in times like that, we pray, we believe, we tell everyone, God is going to come through for me. And we do it in faith, and we do it with great hope, and we know what exactly we want and what it will look like. And then sometimes the job doesn't come through, and health test results don't come back clean, and relationships aren't restored as we picture it would be. The answers don't always come back as we would expect. And when that happens, something strange happens in the depths of us. This is true for me. Instead of feeling closer to God, I can have a tendency to be disappointed with God. Have you ever been that? Or that, is that just me? I've been there. Sometimes feeling a bit betrayed by God. Some of those times I wasn't lacking faith. I wasn't lacking, I thought, trust in God. But somewhere along the way, my trust had attached itself to a specific outcome. And when that outcome didn't happen, I felt that God had let me down. Am I talking to myself, or you understand that? Yeah. This happened a number of times in my life. On the storyboard of my life, there's one that particularly jumps out. It was clear back in 1983, and I understand that many of you weren't alive in 1983. But I was 26 in 1983, and you can do the arithmetic real quick. But my sister had just been married for a couple months, and she was diagnosed with cancer, and it led to her death. And my whole family, we were praying, we were trusting, we were had this picture of health in our minds. We actually were promising God, God, if you heal her, we'll finance her and her husband going out on a speaking circuit to tell their story. You know, just all these things. And she died 2 days before her 20th birthday. We marry young in Utah. You know, to say I was disappointed with God is really gentle to how I was really feeling. I was mad at God. You know, that song we just sang, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Well, I can tell you it was not well with my soul. So this morning I want to talk about trusting in God. And the difference between two postures that can look almost identical from the outside, but are very different down in the inside. I'm going to be talking about living with expectations on God as opposed to living with expectancy in God. I think I have a slide for that to help us to expectations on God instead of living in expectancy in God. Now, an expectation, let me explain myself, an expectation has a fixed outcome to it. A shape, a method, a timeline. It's an expectation is saying, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this on this timeline and in this way and exactly like this. God, this is the way I want it to be. Now, there's nothing wrong with having hope for good outcomes. But when hope hardens and becomes a demand on God, we've moved from living in faith to a place where, in some weird way, I try to control God. I can make some promises to God. If this happens, God, I promise I will do this or that or the other. That's expectations on God. Now, expectancy is different. Expectancy is a confident, open-handed trust that God is at work, that he knows, he cares, he loves, and that I can place my faith and trust in him without conditions. It's a saying, God, I don't know exactly what you're going to do. I lift this situation before you, and I don't know exactly what you're going to do or what that desired outcome should look like, but I believe in you. I believe that you are a God who knows, who cares, who is working, and who I can trust in. I can utterly trust in. So here's what I want us to think about today. The next slide. Expectations focus on what God will do. Expectancy focuses on who God is. Those are two very different things. Telling God what he needs to do to make me happy, or saying, God, I'm expecting, you are God, and I can trust in you. So I don't want this to be a thus saith Ted story this morning. So let's think about a couple stories from Scripture. Three stories I'd like to look at, and we will get to Proverbs, because this is a 11th week of a 10-week series on Proverbs. So the first story from the Bible, remember the story about Martha and Mary and Martha? We usually put Mary and Martha, not Martha, Mary. Mary and Martha. It's a story about when the miracle looks different than we imagined. So let me tell you that story a little bit. John chapter 11 is where you find this story. So Jesus' close friend, Lazarus, who is Mary and Martha's brother, he's sick. And Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, and they said this, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And they have an expectation on Jesus. And the expectation is, Jesus, drop everything, come quickly and heal him, because we've seen and heard you heal others before this. So God, that's what we need you to do. But the peculiar thing you'll remember about this story is that Jesus delays his coming. And in his delaying his coming, Lazarus dies. And so as he enters in to the city, because he told his disciples now it's time to go, but he enters into the city and Martha meets him, of course, shattered by her brother's death. It had been 4 days before, by the way. And she said this to Jesus, "Lord," and this is expressing her shattered expectation, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And then Mary comes right following Martha and says the very same thing, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Two sisters, same grief, actually the same unspoken accusation. "You could have done this the way we expected, but you didn't." And here's what's remarkable. Jesus was not absent. He was not unaware. He was not indifferent. He was not cold. In fact, in those verses, it says Jesus wept. So there was all those emotions and care and love. He was going to do something bigger than their expectation. Their expectation was that he was going to come and heal a sick man, or he could have done that. But in fact, what did Jesus do? He came and he raised a dead man. Their expectation of healing almost caused them to miss the greater work of resurrection. So the insight we get from this story is fixed expectations can blind us to a bigger work that God is already doing. Do you know that God is always at work? He's always at work. And do you know that God loves you? And God knows and he cares and he's working and you will never be forgotten or not known by God. And he's always doing a work, not just with a greater world or with religious stuff, but he's always working here with me and with you. Second story, manna in the wilderness. You remember that story in the Old Testament? Exodus chapter 16, trust renews daily. So let me tell you this story real briefly. So God had just taken the Israelites out of Egypt in a very dramatic way. The Red Sea had split. They'd walk through on dry land, all that amazing stuff. But they got out into the desert, and they were without water or food. And so they started complaining, and God already knew their need. And so God said, okay, I'm going to do something miraculous for you. Every morning when you get up and go out, there'll be heavenly bread on the ground, manna. Unlike anything they'd seen or tasted before, but he said, this comes with conditions. The conditions are this. You go out in the morning and you gather what you need for today. And that's all you need for today. And on the sixth day, you can gather 2 days' worth because you're not to go out and work on the Sabbath. But don't get any extra, because I am providing what you need for today. But some, being humans, some being, I think, kind of like me, decided they'd gather a little extra, just in case God didn't come through tomorrow like he did today. And you know what happened? You remember what happened to that extra they gathered? It spoiled, it rotted, it got maggots. It became a mess. God wasn't just feeding their bodies out in the desert with manna. He was training their hearts. He was daily training their hearts. He wanted them to live with daily trust, with expectancy. Expectancy that God would show up and would take care of their daily needs. And I think that's how God wants us to live. Not just on those big plateaus where he does these amazing miracles. And you know what? God does amazing miracles up on those plateaus. I've experienced them. But God works daily. And that's where he trains our heart to live in expectancy. It's a posture where we return to expectancy in God every day, trusting God for his love and his provision and his presence and his timing. And I call this daily bread. I think that was in Jesus' prayer, wasn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. And I think that's just more than what we eat. I think that's what we need, physically and emotionally and spiritually. God, give us today our daily bread. And the insight is that God calls on us to trust in him in an ongoing way. My shorthand for that is daily bread. When I pray for you all, and I pray for myself, that's what I pray for often, is daily bread. So this third story is found in Habakkuk. Anybody read Habakkuk lately? Habakkuk is probably one of the most honest books in the Bible. The Old Testament, written by the prophet Habakkuk. And in this story, Habakkuk is watching everything he depends on fall apart. The crops were failing. The flocks were disappearing. No fruit on the vine. Everything that you would think that would be a mark of God's blessing was falling apart. And yet, listen to what Habakkuk writes in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If we could have that up on the screen, because I don't have it memorized. There we go. Though the fig tree, listen to these words, they're amazing. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Isn't that amazing? Everything had fallen apart. But he says, that's not what marks my trust in God. My trust in God, it was never actually based on crops or flocks. In the first place, it was built upon God himself. That's the story of Habakkuk. And so the insight, let's go to the next screen. The insight there is this. Expectancy can survive even the total collapse of our expectations because it is rooted in who God is, not what he provides. I learned that lesson many times in life, but I learned that lesson perhaps the first time after my sister passed. I didn't learn it the next week. It was months later when I was able to finally verbalize to God, I don't understand this. It's not the way I wanted it to be. But I thank you that you are God and I can trust in you. So expectancy can survive even the total collapse of our expectations, because it is rooted in who God is and not what he provides. But let's be honest. When things of life don't go how we'd like them to go, disappointment is really, it's a real emotion. It can knock us sideways. But I found that when I go deeper, I often find that it reveals to me what I'm really trusting in. And often I find out my trust is not in God, but my own plan, my own attempt to control. So we need some help here. What do we do in navigating this expectations and expectancy? Well, I'm finally going to Proverbs. In fact, I'm going to the proverb that you've probably heard read most in our time together these last weeks, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's the words that if you say, what do you know about the book of Proverbs? This is what you're probably going to quote. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do you have that memorized? Yeah. In fact, somebody came to me this morning and quoted it for me. They didn't know what I was speaking on. They just knew it was going to be Proverbs. And yeah, Joseph did that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Amen? Amen. Is it hard? Yes. Yeah. So let's look at this phrase by phrase. First of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So God's call for me and to you is to put our trust, our complete confidence, our entire lives into his hands. Simply believing that there's a God out there somewhere, and it's good for me to know that and kind of the background of my life. But that's not what God's calling us toward. He's calling us toward the action side of faith, which is trust, to put our full confidence in him with all our heart. Now, trust in God is difficult. In fact, I think it's impossible. Trying harder doesn't get us there. It's God gives us the gift of being able to trust more. But I don't know if we can just partially trust in God. I think he has us on a journey where we are able to trust him more and more and more. But I don't think we can separate things out of our life that we can trust with God and things we don't. I don't think I can say, okay, I can trust in God for my marriage, but I am not going to trust in him for my career. He wants us to trust in him with our whole hearts. Our whole hearts. Now, he tells us how to trust in him with our whole heart, with all our heart, in these next phrases. The next phrase is, lean not on your own understanding. One thing that stands between me and God often is me. Because really easily I can know what should be done in my mind better than I think God might know what should be done. I'm just being honest. But in verse 7 of Proverbs 3, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. So that stops that. We can easily go to the place where we think we know better than God, but we don't. In fact, it's really madness to even think that. But that's what we can try to do all the time, run ahead of God and hope that God is falling closely behind, and I'm throwing commands over my shoulder right and left, say, did you hear that? I expect that to be done now, because I know best. But do you know what I've found? Living like that, where I have to be God and have to inform God of what needs to be done all the time, it's exhausting. It really is exhausting. I think that's why sometimes we have trouble with prayer. Because we get in our minds, okay, in prayer, it's where I tell God or I ask God to do what I think he should do. So we have this whole list of things that we work on that I'm going to tell God right now, God, would you do this and this and this and this and this? That's not prayer. That's informing God of my will. And even Jesus, do you remember what he prayed? Not my will, but yours be done. That was Jesus. And so thinking and trying to control and inform God even, okay, God, this is how you should work. It's exhausting. Because I have news for me and for you. None of us is God. And no matter how hard we try to control the details of our life, we are not ultimately in control. there's one in control. Three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is in control. Lean not on your own understanding. Instead, we lean on God, and the book of Proverbs helps us to learn the wisdom of God. It helps us in deciphering how God's moving in so that we can notice how God is moving. And in all of the, that's one of the reasons we should be reading God's word daily, regularly, is because it helps us to get to know God, his will and his ways, and trust in him as we watch him work in our lives. So the next one, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Next slide, please. So I have a question for you. How many of our ways are we to acknowledge God in? All. So all minus one is not all. We are to acknowledge God in all our ways. Dependency upon him in all areas of our life. The thought that God cares about what I do on Sunday mornings in church, but not on Monday mornings at work or home at school, is foolishness. Because God is concerned about all. In all your ways, acknowledge him. God cares about how I'm generous with my money, but he also cares about how I earned that money in the first place. God cares about the church we go to, but he's also concerned about the house that we live in. God's concerned about my Bible reading, but he's also concerned about my time spent on social media. God does not just care about the big stuff. He's so concerned about the little stuff because he knows that the little stuff is what forms our heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So he calls us to walk this journey of life with him. Not with and separate, but with him. Because God's love and his care and his leading is just not for the stuff we'd call religious, but it covers over all things. It's about God's there loving and caring and leading and concerned with what goes on at work, what goes on at home, what goes on in our cars, what goes on in our viewing and interacting with social media, with people, with relationships. We're to acknowledge God in all our ways. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's the promise at the end of that? He will make your ways straight. So on the face of that statement, that's really encouraging, that he will make our ways straight. Next slide, please. It's a really encouraging promise. It's a promise that God will be there with us, and in the end, well, it doesn't really talk about the end there, does it? It talks about the journey. The journey. the great thing about the journey is his presence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he will make my paths straight. Now, here's the rub with this one. My desired path is not always God's desired path. In fact, God's word says that his way is not always our way. But the longer I've lived life, the further I can look back in my path, and I can see many valleys. God's been so good to me. But there are some bumps on the road. But what I can see is a journey of God's presence. And even when I mess up, he redeems it. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of God we have. Even when I stray, he draws me back. Even when I'm living without faith, he takes those lessons that I can learn and he redeems them so they're for my benefit for the future. That's the kind of God we have. Isn't that amazing? It is. He makes our path straight. So let's bring this to some application. And this has really changed my prayer life. Try reframing your prayers. So when I pray now, I ask God to help me to see this in my prayers. And this really, well, let me give you an example. When I'm praying for my kids, I usually have these things that I want to see happen and the way I want God to show up here. And I never consciously wish harm or evil on them, but I think, here's the great things, God. Here's things you can do, and it'd be really great. But I'm doing that less now. My prayer time for my kids is turning more into a time of thanksgiving and praise. When I say, God, I thank you so much that you love my kids. I say their names specifically. And you know everything about them, and you know more about them than I know. You know what's going on in their life. You know the underpinnings. And I know that you have the best for them in mind. And I don't know exactly what that is, but you do. And I pray that they would understand your love and your working and your ways in their life. And I pray that you'd help me to support them along the way. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying specifics for people. But I think we need to do it from the posture of praise and thanksgiving that God already knows. And he's already in control. And he already loves. And he already cares more deeply than I care. That revolutionized my prayer life as time has gone on. So it's no longer about, oh God, here's my prayer list about my kids and let me recount that to you. Boom, 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 boom. And after I recounted everything to them, I've checked, marked on all that, then I move on. They're done with. Now I can go to the next. So it's more like having a conversation and just sitting with God about my kids or about you or whatever's going on. Just sitting with God and said, God, I'm sure glad you're God and you're a good God. And I can trust in you. And know sometimes in prayer, I can sit with God about a situation or my kids or my wife or whatever I'm praying about. And I don't even need words. Because it's just like sitting in God's presence with them in mind. And sometimes God gives me some very specific things to pray about them. But it originates from His Spirit as opposed to my spirit. So try that. Try reframing your prayers from being a list that you check off to just sitting with your Savior with regard to a person or a situation or yourself. He's God, I'm not. The second application. And this is going to be a participation application, okay? So the question is for you and for me is, what is one expectation you're gripping tightly on? So I just invite you to close your eyes and just open yourself to God's Spirit. And just ask Him if there is some expectation you have that you're really holding tightly on. But in reality, you think you're trying to control it as opposed to giving that control over to God. And if He brings a situation to mind, that's fine. If not, that's fine. But if there's something He brings to mind that you're really holding tightly onto, a person, a situation, a worry, and you just feel like you've been gripping it, I encourage you just to take your fist and hold it as though you're gripping something. And then, Father, these things that are being gripped so tightly, as an act of worship and faith, we release them to You. Go ahead and just turn your palm upward and open your hand, giving that thing or that person or those things or that situation to Him. And God, I thank You that You are a loving God, that You know, that You care, that You already are working. And we can live in the expectancy of that. We trust in You, not just for what You'll do, but we praise You and thank You for who You are. Amen. So I guess to just wrap this up in a sense, let's hold our expectations loosely. And at the same time, let's hold onto God tightly. Amen?
Amen.
So there's reason to do this. And it's because of Jesus. Jesus came, and we sang about it in our songs earlier. He came to make a difference. And if you could, those that are going to serve communion, if you could go ahead and get ready. You know, Jesus said regularly we should do what we call communion, where we take the bread, a piece of bread, and eat it, and the cup, and drink it. Because it reminds us. He says, remember. We need to be reminded of what all this we've been talking about rests upon. And it rests upon Jesus. You know, Jesus is our victor. He won the victory on the cross. And in his teaching, he said about himself, I am the bread of life. Go ahead and distribute the elements. I am the bread of life. And now as a bread and cup are passed around, go ahead and take it and hold it. And we'll take it together. You can go ahead and play that instrumental when you're ready. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Bread was in that day the sustenance of life. Without bread, they couldn't live. Jesus was saying, I'm what you need for the nourishment and the continuation of life. And Jesus allowed himself to be broken. He came from heaven to earth, which is amazing to think about, God becoming man. And he lived a very simple life of sacrifice as an example how we should live, and he lived without sin. He was perfect. And this life that he lived of perfection and the call and the mission of the Father on his life took him to a place that was beyond anyone's expectation, and that is that God would come and die. But that's what happened to Jesus. He came and he died for very much a reason. He died for our flaws, for our sin. And on the cross, he won the victory. In fact, it says in Colossians that he made a public spectacle of Satan on the cross. And so the bread represents that life of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, the divinity of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, that he would come and allow himself to be broken that we might live. And the cup. The cup represents the blood of Jesus. And when you're finished back there, I'll need one, please. The cup represents the blood of Jesus that was shed that we might be forgiven. One of the songs we sang earlier today talked about it just not being a partial forgiveness, but a full forgiveness. All our sin. All our sin. Jesus took care of. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus is our conqueror, and he is our king. And Jesus, through his death and through his resurrection and through his ascension, he has established the kingdom that we can live this very day in the power of our king. We can live with expectancy. And we can be relieved from trying to manage everything. And instead place our trust in God who does manage everything. So in remembrance and in thanksgiving, would you take the bread with me? And shall we eat? And you would take the cup. And as a community of Christ here at the Bridge, let's drink it together. thank you for being our King, our Victor, our Conqueror. And if you'd like prayer after the service, after we sing the song and are dismissed, you can come up here. But I think it's time for us to stand and declare there is power in the blood.